Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Keystone Realtors Limited Q3 FY23 results call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Samar Sarda from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aman. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for taking the time out. We are pleased to host the maiden and the first results conference call for Keystone Realtors Limited, famously known as Rustomjee. From the management, we have the senior team representing it, led by Mr. Bhavan Irani, the Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Chandresh Mehta, Director, Mr. Percy Chaudhary, Director, and Sajal Gupta, the Chief Financial Officer. I would now request Mr. Irani to take the floor for his initial comments. Over to you, Bhavan.
Thank you, Samar. I hope I can be heard clearly by all. I'll begin with good evening, friends. Welcome to the first conference call of Keystone Realtors Limited. We are known as Rustomjee. First and foremost, we'd like to extend our sincerest gratitude to our investors who have shown trust in the company and management, leading to a successful IPO. Thank you again. Today, I would like to give an introduction to Rustomjee for the benefit of our new investors. We, that is Chandresh, Percy, and I, began our journey in 1996. We started off with the idea of making spaces that redefine living. 26 years later, from the four-man chairman to watchman team, we have now grown to about 650 employees. Numerous development partners, over 29,000 shareholders, and more than 15,000 happy families residing in the Rustomjee homes. We remain as passionate today, as enthusiastic about our work as on the first day when we started. Today, Rustomjee is a prominent name in the Mumbai metropolitan region. We have 20+ million sq ft delivered and a pipeline of 35 million sq ft today. We have projects across various price points catering to all segments of the population. Affordable, which is categorized as less than 1 crore. Mid-mass, which is categorized as 1 crore-3 crore. Aspiration, which is categorized as 3 crore-7 crore. Premium, which is categorized as 7 crore-15 crore, and super premium, everything above 15 crore. Our development capabilities span a wide range of projects from standalone developments, gated communities, to fully integrated townships, developed through greenfield and brownfield initiatives. We partner with societies, with other landowners, developers to deliver residential, retail, and commercial properties that meet the highest standards of quality. Our extensive experience in this field ensures that we are well-equipped to deliver projects that are both innovative and successful. I would like to mention that these are good times. Home buyers are buying real estate thanks to a combination of the increasing household income, soaring aspirations, and reasonable prices that make purchasing a property a very viable option. Given that 80% of new supply in the established micro markets in Mumbai comes from redevelopment projects, there's a huge opportunity for us. As a result of this, we are witnessing a lot of the developer community gravitating towards the MMR market from various other cities in the country. We are the largest organized developer in the redevelopment segment. We have an established track record and having delivered more than 1,400 homes in the redevelopment space, we are also the largest in this redevelopment field. Rustomjee has, as a matter of fact, established itself as a leader in these micro markets in the redevelopment segment that we are strong in. Coming to our financial results. Q3 of financial year 2023 performance, we have added three new projects: Vasant Park, Vivekanand, and Kher Nagar. Projects that have been added in this quarter have a total saleable area of approximately 0.7 million sq ft and a gross development value of 17.5 billion, namely 1,750 crore rupees. In the financial year or in the nine months up to December, this number stands at five projects. Four of these projects are redevelopment and one is a joint development. The nine-month period ending December 2022, the project added total to about 1.3 million square feet of saleable area and a gross domestic value of 34.25 billion rupees. That is about 3,425 crore rupees. The notable projects that we've added in the last 9 months include a joint development in Mahim, which has a saleable built-up area of 0.5 million square feet. With an estimated GDV of rupees 11.5 billion, that is 1,150 crores. And the other is a redevelopment of a golf course facing Basant Park Society at Chembur West with a saleable area of 0.5 million square feet and an estimated GDV of 12.5 billion, namely 1,250 crore rupees. Our acquisition strategy focuses on being close to infrastructure, green spaces, sea views, and established micro markets where Rustomji is a recognized brand and has a strong presence. In line with our focus of continually growing our presence in the fastest growing mid-mass and aspirational segments, 85% of our new additions in terms of gross domestic value are in these segments. We have a robust pipeline of projects that are primarily guided by our strategies. Pre-sales and collections for the year-to-date financial year 23 have been 11.31 billion, that is 1,131 crores, and rupees 11.63 billion, that is 1,163 crores respectively. Ignoring the effect of a one-time institutional sale of 6.31 billion, that is rupees 631 crores, in the financial year 2022, pre-sales and collections have improved by 17 and 27% respectively on a year-on-year basis. For pre-sales, I would like to bring to your notice that contribution from mid-mass and aspirational segment have been 66% of the total 9 months financial year 23 pre-sales as compared to 32% a year back. We have ramped up our construction spends in our projects by more than double for the 9 months of financial year 23. It is at 5.74 billion, that is 574 crores, as compared to the same period last year being 2.53 billion, that is 253 crores. This is indicative of a higher construction activity at our site. Operationally this year, we have been active with the launch of two new towers for our Virar Township and one in our Thane Township. The total area launched is 0.5 million square feet with a gross development value of rupees 5.45 billion, that is 545 crores. We have an ambitious launch plan over the next 12 to 15 months. In quarter three, we have received OC for two wings of the Virar project, totaling to 0.2 million square feet of construction area, of which only 14% remained unsold as of December 22 in terms of the built-up saleable area. The financial highlights. For quarter three, financial year 23, net revenues are at 1,265 million, that is 127 crores, EBITDA at 178 million, and profit after tax at 58 million. And for the period ending 9 months, financial year 23, net revenues are at 3,413 million, EBITDA at 329 million, and profit after tax at 55 million rupees. Financial highlights for the 9 months of financial year 23 are due to lack of major project completion. The only significant revenue recognition event was the completion of the four wings of our Virar Township and increment sale and revenue from completed inventory. However, we anticipate an increase in revenue and margins in Q4 with the completion of some of our projects. Despite a lower revenue of 3,413 million, we are happy to report that our EBITDA of 329 million rupees demonstrates our ability to absorb fixed costs at lower volumes. It's important to note that the current EBITDA percentage may not accurately reflect the financial performance due to the lower volumes. As you know, accounting of revenue and profits under the Ind AS accounting standards for real estate is recognized basis completion of the project, that is project completion method. As a result, the revenue in a particular period may not be comparable to the past period. In such a scenario, pre-sales, collections, and operating cash flows are better measures of business performance. Operating cash flow surplus for the quarter and year to date have been 1.1 billion, that is 110 crore rupees, and 280 billion, that is 280 crore, 2.8 billion, that is 280 crore respectively, as compared to 0.62 billion, that is 62 crores, and 0.91 billion, that is 91 crores for the corresponding period last year. The increase in OCF is primarily attributed to the higher pre-sales and collections. Debt. During Q3, we've made net repayment of 4.16 billion, that is 416 crore rupees, including 3.42 billion, that is about 342 crore rupees from the IPO proceeds. Our gross secured debt as on December 22 is 5.17 billion rupees and our net debt is rupees 1 billion. Our debt equity ratio is 0.32 to 1 at the gross debt level and 0.06 is to 1 at the net debt level. As a result of the above efforts, I am happy to report that the ICRA has assigned a credit rating of A- to the company in the month of February 23. This should further enable us to improve our cost of funds in the future. We anticipate significant savings in the finance cost in times to come because of the debt reduction, a healthy debt-equity mix, and a higher credit rating. Last but not the least, I am delighted to welcome several seasoned executives to our senior leadership team. Yes, we have grown. These additions come from a variety of backgrounds and expertise, and each participant, each person will play an invaluable role in helping your company drive forward to new heights of success. With the collective experience and enthusiasm we have in the team, we are sure we'll be able to capitalize on opportunities that lie ahead and realize our vision of the continuous growth. With that, I thank you again for attending our first analyst call. I now open the floor to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and 1 at this time. First question is from the line of Pritesh Sheth from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First question is on the debt. If you can help me, if you can help reiterate what was the end of September debt we had and how we have got down to 100 crore kind of a net debt level. And does it exclude any JV debt, which you have mentioned, at the bottom of the row? That's my first question.
Yeah, Ritesh, our total debt.
This is Sajal.
Ritesh, this is Sajal. Our gross debt basically is 516 crores, but we have a cash and cash equivalent of about 418 crores. That is how basically the net debt is 98 crores. Regarding the second part of your question that whether it includes the JV debt, no. We have one JV in which we have a debt of about 177 crores. We are a 51% partner in the JV. This is a JV in our Thane township where Keppel is our partner and the Keppel is a 49% partner. Our share of our debt is about 84 crores in that 177 crores which is there in the JV. Regarding your third question related to how much is the payment over debt which has been made, during the last quarter we have made the repayment of 416 crores, of which 342 crores is from the IPO proceeds. As a part of the DRHP and the RHP that we filed, the use of the proceeds, the 342 was kept aside for the repayment of a loan and that has already been done. So the reduction in the debt is basically 342 out of the IPO proceeds and the balance in the ordinary course of business based on the repayment schedule that we have.
And just if you can remind me, what was the net debt as of September 30, the previous quarter? That will help me reconcile the debt reduction.
Given that, yes, sorry. So given that we have repaid 416 crores and after the repayment of 416 crores, our gross debt now is 500 and what was the number at the end of September? It was in, just give us a second, we will give you a number.
Sure.
Can we come back to you in a bit with the exact number?
Sure, sure, no problem. My second question was on your near-term launch pipeline. So over the next couple of quarters or 1 year, what is the launch that we can expect to happen?
So, Vitesh, let me tell you about the launches in this quarter itself, the ongoing quarter. We've got three projects.
Fourth quarter? Okay.
Yes. We've got three projects that we are launching. They are in Juhu, they are in Bandra East, and they are in Thane, totally amounting to 0.62 million square feet and with a gross development value of about 1,000 crores.
Okay, okay. That's helpful. And just lastly, on, you know, good quarter for business development as well, in general, what has been our, you know, run rate in terms of project additions? You know, what is the pipeline, that is in advanced discussion going ahead in terms of business development? And in general, for redevelopment projects, how much, time it takes to, enter into a first part of negotiation and finally closing the deal?
Very interesting questions. Thank you for that. So, like I mentioned earlier, Rustamji has been a dominant developer as far as the redevelopment goes. We keep ourselves engaged in pockets which are highly advantageous to us given our brand presence in those markets. We have two philosophies. One of them is to focus on green views and blue views, given that the future will depend on, you'd like to live closer to the greens, which is the garden areas, and closer to the sea, which is the blue. The second is that we focus on, as such, gated communities where community development can be taken as a key living, index for people. And in this, we have been extremely successful, having created more than homes with, projects with more than 350, 400 homes in one single location. We usually focus on projects where our, before we go to market for sales, we are investing about 10% of the gross value of the project. And we look at projects where our gross margins would be in the region of about 35%. And, we are very focused on these markets. Rustamji is a dominant developer, not starting off today like most of the other entrants are. But we have been in this business since the year 2000. When we started off with a Bandra building where only 12 members were redeveloped. And we've realized this is a business where it's not only the money, but it is the ability to understand people's issues. And given that we've, rehoused 1,400 rehabilitation apartments, we would say that we've got a fair understanding of the kind of issues that are faced in redevelopment. And this is what I feel is going to be the differentiator. While lots of horses are there at the starting line, we feel only a few will continue towards the finish line. And given our experience, we will definitely be leading in that race.
Sure, got it. That's helpful. That's it from my side and all the best.
Thank you.
If I may take the opportunity to answer the previous question which was asked by the gentleman from the Motilal Oswal, about what was the debt level at the end of September. Our debt level at the end of September was close to 900 crores, 891 to be precise, and the net debt level was 823 crores.
And this, just to clarify, this 823 crore included the JV debt?
No. I am talking apple to apple. So apple to apple, what was 891 is now 516, and what was 823 is now basically 98 crores.
Okay, so we have basically reduced 800 crore in this quarter, out of which you said 400 crore was from the proceeds, 200 crore of additional cash surplus we have compared to like quarter to quarter. Okay.
416 crores I have paid, and how I got the cash surplus, one is the cash surplus that I told you for the quarter, 110 million, and second is the cash surplus I have from the IPO. That from the IPO, basically after having paid 341 crores, still we are left with 220 crores. That is how basically our net debt is down now to basically 98 crores.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ritvik Sheth from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have few questions. Firstly, on the ongoing and forthcoming project, would it be possible to quantify the construction cost to be incurred?
I could tell you that there is no simple answer to that, given that we build everything from 14 floors all the way up to 70 floors, and depending on where the project is located, there would always be a difference in the prices, both in terms of the height of the building at the same point of time the amenities provided. Also, in terms of the car parking requirements, etc. So, Ritesh, I'm sorry, but I don't have a one-stop shop answer for you with regards to the cost. What I can tell you is that the cost had increased terribly or terrifically, whichever way you want to choose. Between March of last year and up to December of last year, when things started petering down, and today the annual wholesale price inflation rate in India has declined to 4.95% in December from 5.85% in November. So this is the lowest figure since Feb 21, and a slowdown in the prices of manufactured products is also being seen now.
Okay. Sir, actually, I'm not trying to get a per square feet construction cost, but rather I'm trying to get an absolute construction cost to be incurred by us over for the ongoing and the forthcoming project.
So what we have tried to give a guidance, a sort of a guidance, basically is that as a part of our presentation, that we have about 12 ongoing projects, which has a total sellable area of 5.1 million square feet, and we have basically given also an estimate of the estimated value of the unsold inventory. Similarly, we have also given a sort of an estimate basically on the forthcoming projects, which are 22 with the estimated GDV. Our cost, as you can see, basically is an estimate basically, you know, from time to time it may vary, and then we have not given, and we are not at this moment want to basically put that number
the reason I'm asking is that
the overall pipeline, which is basically comprising of forthcoming and ongoing, which is 32 million with a total GDV of about 40,000 crores.
Right. Yeah. The reason I'm asking is that, you know, a lot of companies give this data, and only the construction cost is missing on our presentation.
It is not only the construction cost. There are a whole host of costs: construction cost, approval cost, land cost, the overheads, the interest burden, so on and so forth. Maybe what we can do that we can get more discussion.
Sure. No problem. Yeah, so my second question is related to the launch pipeline. The previous participant asked for the next quarter. Would it be possible to give a rough estimate for FY24, given that, you know, our unsold inventory on ongoing projects is on the lower side, you know, it's about 3,500 crores. You know, what would be an ideal launch pipeline for FY24?
So let me start you off by saying that the launch pipeline is ranging from everything, again, from affordable homes all the way up to the premium and super premium. And they are from, you know, Bandra West to Bandra East, and a lot of projects in Bandra East. There is Mahim, then there is Virar, there is Dombivali, there is Thane. All of these put together, we have a launch pipeline of about 2.5 million square feet, and the expected gross development value of the same would be about 6,400 odd crores.
Okay. So, we are going in FY24 with a healthy launch pipeline.
Yes, and our normal, if I may just add a little bit further, our normal replenishment of existing location stocks is roughly in the region of 1.5 to 2 times. By example, if I'm completing 100,000 square feet in a particular location, I'm looking at 150 to 200,000 square feet to be replenished in the same location, and this process is something that we've continually, decided to carry on in the future.
Right. So basically, if you're selling 1500 crores per year, then we would be looking to add about 3000 crores of new projects acquiring in that particular year, like approximately. Would that be a fair assessment?
Mathematically, absolutely right. But right. Given the fact that we are talking about various price points, this may vary between, let's say, 2500 and 3000 crores.
Sure.
Yes.
Got it. And so my last question is on the sales value, the pre-sales value. It seems that, 9 months we have declined, and so we have declined in Q3 because you mentioned some institutional sales last year. You know, what kind of number would we be for FY23? Would we be degrowing the FY22 base, and then FY24 onwards, what kind of growth rate do we aspire?
I will not make any forward-looking statements because I'm still learning the ropes of these calls. I hope you excuse me for that. But what I can tell you is the pre-sales compared to last year's same period were because of a one-off sale, that institutional sale that took place. And like I have mentioned in my opening remarks, the pre-sales have been 11.31 billion. That's about 1,131 crores. And collections have been about 1163 crores. And if you take away the one-time institutional sale of 631 crores for last year, we've actually seen an improved pre-sales by 17% and collections by 27%. So that is the reason where we are. I mean, we are where we are. And our pre-sales will continue. And generally, the fourth quarter is also generally strong.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gopal Agarwal from Agmani Advisory. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I would just like a brief, a rough kind of idea regarding a mix between JV, JDA, own development and redevelopment sales for this till 9 month FY23, and going forward over the mid-term to longer term, how do you think this mix will finally play out, and what would be your target?
Thank you for that question, because it's important to state that when we did come to the market, we pointed out that almost 80% or 79% of our entire development was in the JV-JD space, and about 11% was in the redevelopment space. But even when we came to market, we actually informed all those who were our probable investors that the redevelopment space is where Rustamji will continually grow. And given that Mumbai is an island city and highest value of our developments come from Mumbai city itself, redevelopment happens to be the major thrust area for our future growth. So going forward, of the five projects that I mentioned that we've acquired in this year or the 9 months of this year, four have been redevelopments and one has been a joint development that we have undertaken. So that should give you an idea of the kind of thrust that we are giving towards redevelopment. Again, for reasons where we are an established, redevelopment company, we understand the nuances of this market. We believe that we are well bolstered now to take on more redevelopments. And we are a preferred developer wherever we go, primarily because our presentations are a little more deep or all-encompassing. Having said that, We've got a very simple rule. We follow our investment guidelines to the T, and we do not get tempted only by one factor or the other. The entire package has to make sense. Only then we will enter. Otherwise, we'll happily say no to a redevelopment which we believe may not be getting the kind of returns that should be got by the redevelopment, given the nature of redevelopment business itself.
Right. Great. And sir, given the current environment wherein interest rates are rising and we expect another 25 bps in this week or next, there's supposed to be some kind of hike. So are you personally seeing any kind of demand slowdown impact, or do you think this kind of interest rate is still sustainable for the kind of demand that you have been seeing, and at what rate do you think you will start worrying?
So, good question. I mean, I have 2-3 points over here. And again, this was something that was brought up while we were on our roadshows as well. And the one thing that I pointed out time and again, and this is market speak, right? Since May 22, there has been almost a 7,000 rupees increase in the EMI costs. But in contrast, we've seen that sales have continually grown from May to December, right? Even this 0.25% increase will only bring us up to the 2019, interest rates. But thankfully, our economy is much stronger today than we are when we were in 2019. Further, just so that, we get this point, at least from our understanding of how a customer treats his home loans, generally a home loan is between 7 to 9 years in terms of its life cycle. And in this life cycle, I'm sure most people understand that there will be ups and downs in terms of the interest rates. So on an average, if you take, the interest rates would remain more or less same no matter in which period you enter this market. Those that understand this, and there are plenty of, I would say, educated customers who understand this extremely well. And also, given the fact that most of the bankers or financial institutions are today duty bound to kind of explain their entire interest rate cycle to the customers, they are also seeing the ability to continually invest, not bothering where the interest rate cycle is. And again, another point which is very, very important is that real estate acts as a natural hedge to inflation. So those that have bought today, even with a, let's say, highest interest rates of it being even at the 2019 levels, would still be better off than waiting off this decision for another 6 to 9 months and then buying at that point of time when the interest rates would come down. Because on an average, that customer would have been affected by not more than, points of a percentage. So we've also seen that, in the year 2022, there has been launch of about 1.49 lakh units. As again, 1.08 lakh, that's 1,08,000 in the calendar year 2021. That's a 38% growth we've seen year on year. Absorption in calendar year 22 has 28,500 units, as against 18,000 units in calendar year 21. Again, a 58% year on year growth. And, this all points towards home buyers seeking or looking for not the lowest price deal or at the lowest interest rates, but actually value determination for the purchase that they are doing. And again, this is where we see branded or organized developers stealing a march, even on the sales side compared to all the other developers that continue to be existent in this market.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for explaining. That's all from my head. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Jeet Shah from Pinpoint Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Firstly, congratulations on a very successful IPO.
Jeet, I'm audible clearly. May I request you to use the handset, please?
Hello, is that better?
Slightly better.
Okay. Hey, firstly, congratulations on a very successful IPO. My question was on the pre-sales number that we report. Is this adjusted for our economic share in these projects, or is this a consolidated number?
Jeet, thank you very much for congratulating us. I appreciate that. Let Sajal take this.
So these are our economic shares. Wherever it's a joint venture, let us say Thane, we have a joint venture, Bhandup, we have a joint venture. It is a complete, basically a pre-sales because it's a profit distribution. There is no area distribution. But our JDA project where there is area distribution, like the Crown we have, or any other project that we may have, then it is only our economic share basically in that area that we account for in the pre-sales.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot. And my second question was on the inventory breakdown that we've given in terms of an estimated GDV of what is yet to be unsold. I wanted to ask, are these units that have already been brought to the market and not sold as of today, or some part of this is unreleased inventory as well?
So we have given you a breakup in two parts. One is for the ongoing projects. In the ongoing projects, there is an inventory which has already been sold, and we have some sold receivables against that. So ongoing projects are total 12, and the total sold receivables that we have against that is about 2,300 crores. We have also given an unsold inventory value, which is about 3,600 crores. So on the ongoing projects, significant amount of inventory sold depending on which part of the life cycle the project is basically. But as far as the forthcoming projects, the overall value, whatever we said, obviously basically everything is the value of the unsold inventory.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, then please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Harish Shah from HS Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I'd like to ask some questions. Have we witnessed any price hike or price rise rather in some of our projects, any specific locations?
Harish, thank you very much for that question. Areas like Bandra East, which have got great connectivity, like Bhandup, where the prices are extremely affordable, like Thane, which is a very large market, everywhere we've seen a steady state growth in terms of prices, one. Two is also as part of our sales strategy, we usually launch projects and sell, let's say, about 30% of the volume, depending on the type of project, of course, 30% of the volume in the launch phase, after which we sell a certain percentage as the life cycle of the project. And generally, there is always an increase in the prices between when it was launched to, let's say, the completion part. And obviously, finished goods inventory is always priced a little higher because that is ready inventory for the consumer.
And if I need to know the sustainable EBITDA margins and PAT margins for considering our project mix, what would be your estimates for FY24-25?
I can only say I'm sorry, but again I'm going to speak about from experience. You know, EBITDAs are between 27% and 28%. And PAT margins are roughly between 17% and 19%, again, on the type of projects. Please excuse me for not making any forward statements because, I'm new to this and I will take some time to understand what exactly I can or the level at which I can go out to.
Thanks for that. And a couple of more questions. Are you planning to, venture into any additional segments like, for example, warehousing?
Harish, all businesses are good businesses, but all businesses are not good businesses for all people. So we follow that maxim quite well. And as far as we are concerned, we will stay focused on what we do best, which is residential real estate development. I always tell people, if you ask someone in Rustamji, what kind of homes will sell in which market, we can go down to basically habitual existence of the people and what exactly they need and design our homes, and we continually improve designing our homes in that market. I don't think we should jump into warehousing just because all reports read that happens to be the new age business. Yes, we do look out for newer types of businesses, but we do not jump in. I mean, we'd much rather wait, watch, understand, build our own ability, and then kind of first dip our feet, like they say, and then decide if we want to get into that market. But today, we are not getting into any warehousing or data centers at this moment. I hope that answers the question. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the detailed answer. And one last question from my side. This would be a kind of bookkeeping one. How much of a debt was paid off from the IPO proceeds that we received? And what kind of debt to equity ratios are you targeting for the coming financial years?
Thanks for that. Also, out of the IPO proceeds, we paid out 342 crores, 341.6 to be precise. As of right now, debt to equity ratio is 0.32:1. But going forward, I mean, this gives me plenty of headroom to be able to take debt for projects which I am about to launch. And again, keeping in line with our investment philosophy, we plan to take construction funding majorly. And because of our new ICRA rating and then, of course, continuous improvement that we'll do, we believe our debt costs will further reduce. And though our debt to equity ratio would be 1:1, our overall cost of debt to the project would definitely come down. As I mentioned earlier, ICRA has given us a rating of A- as of right now.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Amit from Myth Engineers. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Mr. Irani, for the good set of numbers. My question is, the finance minister in the budget proposed to limit deduction from capital gain on investment in residential houses under Section 54 and 54 Act to 10 crores. How it will hit our luxury home sales, and have you noticed hyperactivity to take tax advantage like Damani and other deals right now going on in the Bombay?
So again, thank you for that question, because, you know, I say in it, every adversity lies opportunity, but let me clarify. First of all, as Rustamji, we are based across affordable, mid-mass, aspirational, and premium as well. So I would think that we are largely, serving all segments of the market. So those that have capital gains and the value is up to 10 crore rupees, they would still continue to gain an advantage out of investing in real estate with us. As far as, the day this news did, the day the FM made this statement, we did quickly a deep dive into all the apartments that we have sold in the, 40, 50 crore category. And what we observed was, out of the 20 odd sales or plus that we have made in that category, there was only one that was actually a capital gains, purchase. So given that, I am further enthused to say that other than the fact that contribution of our, mass, mid-mass and aspirational segment is 66% today, the fact that we have premium also, so people can continue investing up to about 10 crore rupees or adjust their capital gains up to 10 crore rupees, and the fact that even those that sold in the 25 plus crore bracket out of the 20 plus deals, there was only one that was a capital gains person. But yes, I also read the papers and I see that there is a lot of heavy buying these capital gains purchases are. And I guess that will continue till such time as it's available.
And sir, after the entry of the many new players like Mahindra and all this, corporates in redevelopment, and Adani also coming in Dharavi, so how will our company's position to, protect our share and increase it, particularly in redevelopment in the overcrowded Mumbai market?
I love this question because it gives me a chance to actually tell you that a leader always welcomes other people into the business because it gives him a larger share as he goes along, or her a larger share as she goes along. I respect the fact that every one of these branded names that you mentioned have entered this market. That only goes to show the the advantage of being in this segment, right? So the more people that come in over here, the larger this market will become, is my way of looking at it. And in this growing market, my share will continue to increase because I come with credibility, I come with ability, I come with, you know, history, I come with a lot of references, and none of these are available as chips on the shoulder to any of the new entrants. Yes, that is why they tom-tom about, you know, the rest of their development. But again, look at Rustamji. We've done every kind of development from standalone buildings, that is say 1,000 meter plots, going all the way up to townships that are 217 acres plus. We have built more than, 20 million square feet, 280 buildings completed, not one building left in the lurch anywhere, not one redevelopment or one sold flat left incomplete. We've got an enviable track record, and we make sure that wherever we are absolutely keen on getting in on the redevelopment, we make sure that people know of this. And in the markets, wherever we forayed, of course there is competition, and it's healthy and it's important that there be, because that will only improve our understanding or our depth in this business. We still stand to be winners overall, and we've been extremely successful even now. The four properties that I told you that we took as redevelopments, there were competition from all these names that you're mentioning.
Sir, all your customers, vendor, partners are very happy with you and your team. Hope all the shareholders will share the same sentiment in the coming years.
I thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Naman B. As an investor, please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to understand, there was an article recently that mentioned you partnering up with a AIF, Mount K Capital, that will invest specifically in your redevelopment project. So if you could just speak a bit about that.
Naman, again, thanks for that question. See, finance is the bloodline of the real estate development business. And the one thing that a good company does is it keeps on raising money, not when it's needed, but when we can, right? So this AIF that you speak about is actually sponsored by Keystone Realtors. We are 20% committed to this, to the size of this business. And as a matter of fact, the good news is we've already done our first close of 350 crores. We also have State Bank of India as one of the investors, among some very marquee family offices and individuals who kind of put their money out here. And yes, the investment philosophy for this AIF funded projects is that we will go everywhere where we can complete a project in 4 to 4.5 years, that is end to end cycle. We've already incubated 3 projects in this for this AIF, and in the next quarter itself we should be able to launch, or rather move ahead to launch. I would say in the next financial year, to be honest. We would be able to launch 2 of these projects that we've incubated, and we are looking at more as we go along. It is an extremely, I would say, efficient way of raising capital for the long-term use and being able to leverage the brand and our ability to be able to have a larger development or redevelopment portfolio in the city of Mumbai.
Okay. And sir, you also mentioned, I think, during the roadshow that there were 20 redevelopment projects that you were in talks with, and you've announced 4 so far this year. So for the remaining, if you could tell us which are in the advanced stage, or if you had gotten into more negotiations.
Yes. Thanks again for that, because, you know, it's good you brought that question. So I can tell you that redevelopment or pitching for projects is a continuous process. More importantly, every project I bid for, I will not get, as I mentioned earlier in my talking, that we are very focused that only if the development makes business sense will we go for it. We have no desire to try and say we want to build the most marquee project and therefore this location should be taken. We believe Mumbai is going to change from just being location specific. Of course, locations will play an important part, but more become development specific. So even if today you consider, you know, an entire Lower Parel area that has been built, it has come out of nothing. The BKC area that got developed came out of nothing. I say it is the kind of developments in the future that are going to matter. 20 projects that we've been in, we don't want to take more than 6 or 7. 4 have already been taken, but we continue to bid for other projects at the same point of time. And wherever it makes sense, we take the project. Where it doesn't, we wish the very best, or we congratulate the people who've taken it, because I believe it'll take, it just bolsters me or makes me stronger in that particular market. I would also like to state that my business development team has been bolstered further with new members, and we continue to have the internal IC wherein we have to strongly, let's say I like a project, I still have to sell that project to my other two partners, my CFO and my sales and marketing head, and of course the brand custodian of Rustamji, where we put across all the numbers, we put across the reasons why we believe that's a great project, and then it's an internal selection process. So this allows us to look at those areas where individually people could have missed out, because collective knowledge is always greater than individual knowledge, and we take full advantage of each one of our 26 years of experience in this business, which collectively makes it for more than 8 decades. So that is the long and short of it. I'm happy you asked that question. Thank you.
Thank you. So just one last question. There's an article that says that you inter-packed for a 2 million square feet affordable housing project in Kalyan, and I don't see that mentioned in the presentation. So if you could just tell us something about tentative launch or something about that.
We were actually mentioning Kalyan Dombivli belt, so it is Dombivli where this project has been entered, and as we speak, there's a lot of on-ground work going on over there. We are in the process of regulatory approvals take some time. We are in the process of getting those approvals, and as I mentioned, in the new financial year, we will be launching that project as well. So it's actually Dombivli, Kalyan Dombivli belt.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any participants would like to ask a question at this time, then may please press star and one. The next question is in the line of Anushka Mahajan. As an individual investor, please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So I have two questions. One is, so what is the outlook for JDA with regards to new project acquisitions over the next 1 year? And do you think this field is becoming more competitive from a bidding perspective?
First of all, I'm very happy to have you on, so when I say ladies and gentlemen, I know that you're there in the audience. Very quickly, let me answer your second question first. It is competition that builds us and makes us better. A. B. It is very important to have the right competition. So today, at least all the bidders that, we mentioned, were mentioned by the earlier questionnaire, are financially sound parties. And I am confident whether they make or lose money, at least the projects will get completed. I'm hoping that we all understand that basically in real estate, 99% is not 100% complete and it's worthless. It is only when it is 100% complete that it has some value. And the one thing that, has badly scarred our business has been in the past people coming into redevelopments, not having the financial wherewithal or the line of sight of how they will complete a project, but still, making bids which are unrealistic, thereby making the entire market unviable, and then finally landing up by the wayside and becoming NPAs, if I may say that, and leaving so many, people in the lurch, whether it was those whose homes they were redeveloping or the financial institutions that they worked with or even the purchasers of their new homes. So competition is good, and competition from the right quarters is even better. Having said that, we believe that the advantage for Rustamji is its long history. It's been 22 years that we've been in this business of redevelopment. As I mentioned earlier, we understand the nuances of this business. We are also someone that has, over a period of time, due to the performance, built a great amount of trust in those minds that are giving up their homes. And we always make it a point to inform the people that there's a difference between the best offer and the highest offer. The highest offer is definitely not the best offer because it will get waylaid at times. It is those that have the experience, ability, history, and references that have been developing, redeveloping projects that one should kind of put their homes in trust with. So it works out quite well. With regards to your JVs and JDs, yes, opportunities have again opened up out there. As I mentioned, a lot of developers may have gone ahead and made huge acquisitions for land as such and are today looking at people who can monetize that land. If you take Dombivli, for instance, that is a JDA that we have worked out not so long ago. And again, over here, it's not like the land developer would not get other developers to kind of work with. But word of mouth reference has actually helped us get into the Dombivli JDA at probably a lower, realization for the landowner. But the landowner is totally satisfied that what has been promised to him will be given no matter what. So this really works a lot, and reputation is something that is most important. Like I tell people, trust is the currency that reduces the price of the transaction, and I'm very happy to have, be part of our creation of a brand which is trusted by a lot of people in the home buying space. Thank you.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you for that. So I had one more question. So do you have any plans to expand beyond the MMRDA region like you did in, Virar and Thane?
So let me put it this way. The MMR market, as per some of the reports, was about 40% plus of the total recognized residential real estate realization in the last year. So being in a market where you're 40% of the total value of the country should give me great strength and belief that the deeper I go in this market, the more there is that I stand to gain. And given the fact that real estate is also a very big brand led, how do I say this, business, it is important that we continue to enhance our brand in this MMR area. Thane, Virar, now Dombivli, all these are MMR, all these are covered in the MMR region. We will continue to be in this market. I am not in any hurry to move to any of the other markets. I am a dominant developer of this market. Everyone entering this market treats me as the competition or the benchmark, and I'd much rather stay in this very fertile segment rather than go to the same places where the other developers are coming from. I hope that satisfies your query.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for this, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Prithvik Sheth from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi sir, thank you for the follow-up. Just one question. On the Mount K Capital AIF, you mentioned that we are 20%, we contribute 20% to the fund. Did I hear that right?
Absolutely. The Mount K fund is a very interesting concept where we believe that investors who want to have a larger play directly in a particular types of development should be allowed to participate. Again, given the fact that Rustamji stands by, Keystone stands by what we do as a company, we decided to be a 20% commitment of our own monies in that business. So we will earn the same kind of returns that business will earn up to a certain threshold. Beyond that, of course, we stand to gain substantially because of the way the Mount K Capital has been structured. It is a win-win situation that I always believe is important to create in the long run. There is no shortcuts, and I'm glad to say that over the next 3 to 4 years, the kind of returns that will be made by the investors in Mount K would lead to tremendous growth of the AIF platform and thereby of your company as well.
Right. So equity, all the partners will be looking to invest, and then we will be looking to develop the project, right? so we would be getting some kind of BMP as well. So that would be a broad understanding?
So it definitely is the understanding that up to a particular threshold, the money would be made by all the investors first. Thereafter, Rustomji would be disproportionately gaining as a company, other than getting returns on the 20% that we have invested in capital as well.
Right. Okay, sure. And you mentioned that we have put in 350 crores already in this.
350 crore is the first close that has happened, so by that virtue, we've invested 20% of that.
Okay. So, okay, three. Okay. Okay, great, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
So thank you once again. It's been very interesting. Your questions always lead us towards, let's say, greater answers for the future. I thank each and every one of the participants out here. We truly believe that we are at the beginning of a very exciting journey. We would like to take this opportunity to invite each and every one of you participants to visit our projects, to understand the kind of quality offerings and our execution capabilities. I'd only be too happy to organize these site visits for you or these study trips for you. On behalf of the Rustomji management, I thank you for joining us today. In case of any queries, we are always available. Please reach out to us. We're very happy to keep sharing all information as transparently as needed. Thank you very, very much. Good evening.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.